The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?' So the last will be first, and the first last." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Before we delve into today's text, the familiar parable of the workers in the vineyard, it's worth a moment to consider the context. Prior to the reading we've heard this morning, Matthew recorded Jesus' response to a young man who asked, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus' final words to him were, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." After the young man had left, the disciples were shocked when Jesus stated that it is virtually impossible for the rich to be saved. Peter then spoke up, of course it was him, and said, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." Many who are first will be last, and the last will be first, Jesus said. And then twice in our text, he makes the last first, and the first last. Could it be that Jesus spoke this parable as part of a prolonged answer to Peter's question? "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" What then will we have? Because of all we've done, what will you give us? Peter's talking the language of commerce here, the language of merit. How much have we earned, Jesus? What do you owe us now? That's not the way God thinks. Not the way he prefers to deal with us. Through the prophet Isaiah, we heard him say, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And we should say, thank God. Think of the trouble you'd be in if God thought and acted the way that you and I do. But he doesn't, for he continues, "As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Higher in what particular way? Because the Lord has compassion, and the Lord pardons abundantly. Now on to our text. Jesus' parable speaks of a certain man who owned a vineyard. He was a prosperous man, for he had a foreman working for him. He didn't need to get involved in all the nitty-gritty of running his business. It's a bit of a surprise, then, to hear that he went out personally to the market to hire day laborers to work in his vineyard. He agreed with them on a living wage, a denarius for the day, and then sent them to work. 3 hours later, at about 9 a.m, he went back to the market and saw men waiting for work. He hired them too, not agreeing on any amount, but promising to pay them whatever was right. The vineyard owner did the same thing at noon and at 3 p.m. Finally, at the 11th hour, that would be 5 o'clock, he went to the market again, and he found men standing there. A bit of conversation with them revealed that they were waiting for work, but no one had hired them. So he said, "You go work in the vineyard too." Why would the owner do this? Some have suggested that he was desperate to have the work finished and had more work than there were workers to do it. And there's a possibility that that's true. There's nothing to that effect in what Jesus says, though. And even if it were the case, it wouldn't explain why he didn't just send out his foreman to gather more workers. Why take the time and effort to go personally? A possible answer to this, one that fits the character of the owner revealed in the rest of the parable, is simply that he was a compassionate man. His concern then would not be so much for the abundance of work that was there, as for the workers, workers who would go hungry that night unless they were paid for the day. That's quite a stretch from the way of the world, especially in an era when we've become used to downsizing and right-sizing in business. The Lord's ways and thoughts are indeed higher than ours. 6 o'clock came, and the workday was done. Time to give the laborers their wages. The owner of the vineyard instructed his foreman to line the workers up in reverse order. Those hired last, at the front of the line. Those who had worked the whole day, at the end of the line. Those who had spent only 1 hour in the vineyard probably expected a 12th of a denarius. There was a coin available in that denomination. When the foreman began, however, they found that they were being given 12 times what would have been just, a full denarius. Jesus doesn't mention them. But those who had worked 3 hours and 6 hours, respectively, were undoubtedly delighted to receive 4 times or twice what they knew would have been just. they and their families would have a full meal that night. Those who had spent 12 hours laboring in the vineyard, though, were outraged. "We bore the burden of the day in this scorching heat, and you have made those who worked just 1 hour equal to us." I'm sure we all believe that the laborer deserves his wages, and that ordinary justice calls for equal pay for equal work. People who do the same work should not be paid in unequally. That wouldn't be fair. And neither, then, it would seem, should there be equal pay for unequal work. That's not just, is it? We tend to have a keen sense of justice. We look for absolute fairness. "She got a bigger piece than I did," we complained in younger days. "Why does he get paid more than me?" is a concern as we entered the workforce. "How come I didn't get a chance? Where is the justice in that? I deserve better. It's not fair." I'm sure you recognize the sentiment. It's easy for us to agree with those who were hired first. Where's the justice in what happened to them? The Lord addressed one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no unrighteousness. You agreed with me for a denarius, didn't you? That's the standard pay for a day's work, a living wage. I'm not shortchanging you. Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" Actually, that last sentence is literally, "Or is your eye evil because I am good?" Does my goodness offend you? "We have left everything and followed you," Peter had said to Jesus. "What then will we have?" That's a familiar sentiment, isn't it? It's the way we think. There should be fairness, and you deserve more than an awful lot of others do, right? No, Jesus says, you've got it backwards. The kingdom of heaven, God's reign, is not about what you have earned. It's about the Lord's generosity and compassion and pardon. His ways and his thoughts are gloriously higher than yours. If you got what you deserved from the Lord, you'd be in a heap of trouble. Or maybe I should say, in the pit of trouble. To ask the Lord for strict justice is to be damned. If God treated humanity with fairness, there isn't a single one of us that would be saved. No, not one, for all have sinned and fall short of his just requirements. But in compassion, like the master in the parable, our Lord Jesus became involved. He entered the marketplace of this world, didn't hold himself back from becoming involved with sinners. And he didn't just graciously call tax collectors, like Matthew, and other sinners, including you and me. He bore your griefs and carried your sorrows in his flesh, even as he lived in perfect love and trust in God. Then on the cross, he was wounded for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. The chastisement that brought you peace was upon him, and with his stripes you were healed. In tremendous generosity,
and utter unfairness. Jesus bore your sins in his body on the tree so that he could righteously treat you with great generosity, unfair generosity. You deserve death. Instead, he gives you life. You deserved condemnation. Instead, he gives you pardon. You deserved sorrow and shame. Instead, he gives you heaven. And he keeps on giving and giving, day after day, week after week, through his word, in holy absolution, in his true body and blood at his supper, over and over again, forgiving you, sustaining you with his love, showing that his thoughts and his ways are focused on just one end: your eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness in joy with him forever. The Lord's generosity far exceeds fairness. Thank God. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.